Hello, I'm Connie Rotella, and welcome to our Triple Threat podcast. I'm super excited to begin this journey with all of you. Are you ready to put your best foot forward and show up with confidence? This tool is here to help you evolve into the artist you are meant to be. Just always remember to believe, become, and be ready. Add a new skill set or refine what you already know. So here we go.
My next guest is Felicia Shulman. She's with us today. Felicia, before we get started, I'm just so happy to have you with us on Industry Talk. But just saying Felicia Shulman, I know you're an actress. We all know. I just feel like we just have to say your name and we know who you are. We know the work you've done. Oh, how does that feel?
It doesn't feel like that at all. It really doesn't feel like that at all. I always feel like I'm new and I'm starting again. Even when I approach a role or when I'm on set or when I'm in studio, for me, it's always like, wow, what is this? What contribution can I be? What will it contribute to me? Mm-hmm. It's very like, I don't go on like, you know, I have to be honest with you. When I began, a lot of actors around me were very cynical and very like, come on, get with it. You got to do this. You got to do that. Skaboo, skaboo, skaboo.
Right.
And I thought, oh, that's the way one has to be to create, mm-hmm. to work. And it never sat right with me. It didn't suit who I was. And I often made myself a wrongness. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm not like those people. I'm never gonna work. I don't understand the way the camera turns around or whatever. Like, I'm just like throwing shit out there. And it took me years, you know, and it goes, especially as being a female, yeah, in the industry. It took me years of people telling me what I needed to look like, what I required to change possibly. As a young actor, I'm not even talking as a woman who's lived I'll say I'm moving through time and space.
Oh, that's so well said. I love it.
I was a young actor. I was told some pretty harsh shit. You know, I was told, forget it in terms of what I look like.
Oh,
like, that was first. I mean, I'm talking early 20s.
Wow.
So I'm tying this together, these two things. The whole message for me was the days I began to accept, this is me. Mm-hmm. This is how I work. Mm-hmm. This is what I look like.
Mm.
Let's do the work. There are going to be people that go, I want that. And there are going to be people that go, no. Okay, next. You know, and it's a really different approach. Is I just spent many years of my young career believing everybody. I got to do it like this. I got to be this way. I got to, you know, and everybody telling you something. And then I began to attract, you know, my agent in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
I had quit smoking. I had put on weight and there was always this issue. But when I was bigger and when I was smaller, and she was like, it's fabulous. There's role. Like it wasn't about that.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised in the industry, unfortunately, at some very different time than now. My very first contract,
mm-hmm.
before I started rehearsal, it was in my contract. I had to lose 15 pounds and they weighed me once a week. And if I gained 5 pounds or more,
yeah,
they could fire me.
Yes.
Can you imagine that fuck, that mind fuck, that awful, like.
But I was a dancer and we used to have to weigh each other. Yes, you too, right?
Well, I started musical theater.
Exactly. So every week we had to get weight because the thing is we couldn't gain 5 pounds. We couldn't fit in the costume if we gained 5 pounds. So we had to, they're not going to redo the whole costume wardrobe for you.
Because now they do. Because now they do. Oh, you have, you know, I've been on a film set or a miniseries for extended period of time where the, you know, key costume is like, Felicia, you're a woman, you have hormones. We're going to test stuff in, we're going to let stuff out.
Yeah.
That's the reality. That's our nature. That's our beautiful and our magic, you know, and I feel that the industry is slowly shifting.
Yes.
Slowly.
Yes. I know. And thank you for saying that though, Felicia, because we've never talked about that. And this is,
it's huge.
Yeah.
And people telling you, like, sometimes someone's going to tell you something and it's going to feel like very heavy for, this is not, not mine. Like, this is not my truth. Maybe their truth, their truth, but this is not the truth that I desire creating in. Right. So I'll find like-minded creators. Doesn't mean that their truth is wrong or bad. It just means this doesn't jive with me.
Right.
You know? So that is really, for me, I tie the two together, kind of realizing like, who am I and what can I contribute in this job that I love? Like, I love it. You have to love it or...
Yeah, yeah. What's the point?
Cuckoo, like it'll make you literally crazy or depressed or suicidal or just like down on yourself, or it's going to feed you and be like, oh, look at the people I'm meeting and look at the conversations I'm having and look at the work I'm creating.
Yeah.
And for me, that's what it's about.
And that's why when we say Felicia, that's what I meant at the beginning. I feel like we just have to say your name. We already know your work ethic and your personality and everything you said right now, it's your truth and we feel it. That's why when I'm like, yeah, she's been doing this since the age of 3, you know, you started with the idea at 3 and six years old, you're already on set, right?
I was not on set. I was on stage. I came to film and TV a little bit. Well, I was young when I came into film and TV, but my parents refused.
Exactly.
For a long time, I resented my parents as they could have made a lot of money off of me and I could have had money, right, to go to university or whatever. Yeah. But they really wanted me to have a normal childhood. Yes. So anything that I was doing creatively, dance, singing, acting, it was all like after school or children's theater or...
Yes.
So, you know, and in the olden days when there were no casting agents, filmmakers like David Cronenberg, who was my first film experience as a child, they would just come to like children's theater. They would come to the acting school and interview you. I won't go into detail, but through those experiences, things, you know, people approached me and my parents, and my mother was like, you're going to school, you're going to university.
You're going to become a lawyer.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But when I was in my junior year living in France and I was studying at the Sciences Politiques, I can't even believe that I did that, but I did. It's like another life. Right. I was also, because I was a double major in theater, I was going to see lots of plays. And I knew then, once I did all my requirements, I just knew then I must be an actor. And then life happens to you. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't able to finish my studies. Mm-hmm. So my life took a very different trajectory, a very different route than I had envisioned as a young woman or as a young kid or as a teenager or even in university. It went a completely different way. And that's another part of being who we are. You know, I spent a lot of my youth resisting that this way. And if it goes this way, then it's not good. And actually lean into where life is leading you. And there's all kinds of miracles and doors that open. There's magic that happens. As long as we have our goal or our true north or our deep desire, it just might not work out the way you think it's going to work out or the way the steps.
And I believe in that magic because the only person that can create it is yourself. When you believe in yourself that much and you take away everything that doesn't belong to you, then you start living your life and you start really feeding that passion and attracting the right people to collaborate, to work together.
Yes. And, you know, I know there'll be people listening to this and I know it.
Yes.
I know there'll be people going, but how do you do that? And I feel like shit and all the doors are slamming in my face. And yep, that's part of the reality we live. So as opposed to focusing on that, what can I create? What is required? Like, ask some questions to yourself. What makes me feel great? What can I do that makes me feel great so I can sustain the slog of rejection or whatever it is? Can I take a class? Can I meet a friend? Can I go for a walk in the fresh air? I don't know. Like, there is a way. I'm not saying that it's not challenging to do what we do. Sometimes I ask myself, why? I facilitate movement when I'm not acting. I think and so many times in that other life, people have said to me, quit acting, just do this. You'll do really well. And I'm like, no, 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 you don't understand. I love, like, this is what I'm called to do. The day it no longer calls me, I'll do something else. But I mean, yeah, you're going to feel like shit, but feeling like shit is a moment. Feeling like shit doesn't have, like, we have a moment in our lives and we think it's forever. The audition sucked. I have done so many awful auditions where I wanted to actually crawl on the floor on my hands and knees and melt away. I was so ashamed of myself. Guess what? We're not machines. We're human.
Yeah.
The audition sucked. What did I learn from it? Moving on, you know, and then as you adapt that attitude, then you have less and less auditions that suck. You know, like, you have less and less of those heavy moments. So you have a moment where you feel like, and then you go, okay, what's next?
Exactly.
You know, so it takes practice. You know, people go, you're so positive. No, I'm not so positive. If you met my Buddhist mentor, which she's passed away last year, but my beautiful Buddhist mentor, who I met in my early 20s, my first one, you know, she used to say to me that I was the most negative person she had ever met.
Oh boy.
I was going to become the biggest lotus flower as if I would train myself. If I would train myself every time I thought a negative thought, you know, bash back, use that tennis serve, replace it, even if you don't believe it, with something else. And let me, and then she, and then I was like, it's so hard and it's so much. And she was like, always feed yourself with things that make you feel empowered. Mm-hmm. And you know, who you are, your authenticity, your you. There's nobody like me. There's nobody like Connie Rotella. There's nobody like anybody in this. Even though we all audition together and it's a type and whatever, but ultimately nobody is going to do the character like you. Mm-hmm. Nobody is going to be who you are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that really, that those early experiences, and it was not like somebody hit me over the head and then everything was okay. Mm-hmm. I've gone through a lot of heavy shit in my life and it feeds my acting.
Mm-hmm. And when did you learn all this, though? When did you feel the shift happening?
It started in my 30s.
Right.
In my mid-30s, it started. And it's not supposed to. I just find younger people are so much wiser than, let's say, I feel like that I was at that age. And at the same time, they're much harder on themselves. Mm-hmm. With the advent, I believe, this is just me, of social media and a lot of screens and a lot of fake, a lot of, this is what I want the world to see. It becomes unrealistic. So when you're having a bad day, you think my bad day is going to last forever.
Yeah.
Everything on a screen is just there, right? Forever.
Right.
But actually, no, it's just a bad day and then it's going to change. Exactly. And how can I facilitate that change if I don't want to stay there? I mean, sometimes we like to stay in our shit. Yeah. It feels good. It's mushy. We roll around in it. But then other times it's like, flush it down the toilet, like flush it away. Shit makes the flowers grow, but only if you use it.
Exactly. So if you're in your mid-30s right now or 40s, because I feel like that's when people get down. I want to quit. No one is giving me a chance. It's always given to the same people. You know, it's all that self-talk they do. But the shift is going to happen once you practice exactly what Felicia says every day and changing your mindset and believing that you are you, you are unique, and you have something to give. But
Like, I don't have the answer. Like, I do different modalities for years. I practiced Buddhism, you know, like, it could be writing a list of 100 things that make you feel like you're on top of the world. As soon as that energy changes, it attracts.
Exactly.
And don't be down on yourself if you feel like shit. Acknowledge it. I feel like poo now.
Yeah.
I feel like I just don't want to continue. I'm there. Do I desire staying here? What can I do to change? Can I change it? There's value in low days.
Yeah.
There's value in the days when everything seems to go wonky. But always, to me, it comes back to, because that will be answered, you know? It's how we look at, if I was go, why does this shit always happen to me? Well, that will be answered, mm-hmm. as opposed to, I'm in the shit. What can I do to get out of it? Different way of phrasing it. It's not pretending that you're not in the shit. Everything we feel, everything we are, everything we be in the moment, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, is all fodder for a role. That used to save me a lot when I was a young actor. Let me remember this feeling. I would write it down in a journal, like, how were my hands? How was my face? So I can recreate it when I do a character like this. Like,
oh, that's
this
so good. I've never heard
that. I used to do that all the time when I was a young actress. I'd be like, okay, I got it. Sometimes I was not, I mean, I was a pretty wild young person. But that's why I would write stuff down. Sometimes I couldn't understand what I wrote down. But it's just that I was trained in the U.S., so it's a lot of that method, like using who we are.
Yeah. But you have life experience behind all this. Like, you have real life experience. You even say in your bio, born and raised in Montreal with the spirit of a gypsy. I'm like, who said that? Felicia can.
I really do. If I could, like, if somebody said to me, here's a bunch of money, like a big bunch of money, I would stop acting for a few years and just travel around the world and then come back to it.
Yeah.
I love that. I love like just traveling. And I think that's why I love acting so much. I love being someone else.
Yeah.
Tasting something else, learning about every time I feel lately, every time I do a gig, I'm learning about something new. I'm learning about people who help sex workers, you know, to protect them. I'm learning about, like, just the different roles that I've done recently. I'm learning about, like, farm, cranky farm people.
Right.
I'm learning about, like, you know, it's amazing. The things that are out of who I am.
Because you were a child actor. What's the difference between the industry back then and the industry we are living in now?
Well, I wasn't really in the industry.
Oh, not, well, the theater. It's still the industry, the theater and musical theater, which is your love.
But it wasn't like professional. My parents really, you know, I worked all the time and I was always on stage and always training, and they would call it semi-professional, which was really good product.
Yeah.
But my parents, I did very few. I did a few gigs. And I'm going to be honest with you. Nobody taught me to be empowered at a young age.
Mm.
They taught me to listen to everything the director said. They taught me to, you know, be a good girl. And that's stifled. Be too much. Don't do too much of this. Don't do too much of that. Mm-hmm. And that really stifled my creativity.
Right.
I think today for young actors, you know, be true to who you are. And at the same time, you want to be respectful to the other people around you. You want to be able to communicate freely,
mm-hmm.
to be on time.
Mm-hmm. professional.
15 minutes early.
You're laughing there because what? Is that the difference we're seeing now?
Well, I feel like now something's shifting and there's a bit of
letting go too much.
When we listen to ourselves and take care of ourselves and stand up for ourselves, ultimately we're standing up for everyone. I find at times there's a tendency toward me, not you. And for me, it's me and we. It can be dangerous. All of the work ethic that I learned as a child, because I was trained strictly by Brits in the theater. And it was all about, you know, being accountable. What I didn't learn was being accountable to myself.
Oh,
there's the flip. So there's a two-sided thing. So there's a lot of talk now about this is how I feel and this is who I am and fuck you. And, you know, as opposed to this is how I feel. Let's talk.
Yeah.
Let's work. Let's create with mutual respect.
Yes. So that respect is what's missing because no one is teaching these artists how to stand on their two feet. That's why there's so much unstableness. It's unstable. And I'm speaking to you. You've been doing this for a long time and you're
trying. I've been doing this. Like I was on stage at 4 years old. I mean, I could not read. My mom had to like give me my lines. I guess that's what parents do on set now, right?
Exactly. And you're in a good position to speak about, because my topic, you know that I train the next generation of dancers, triple threats, singers.
Yes.
And they know if they come to me, it's the real deal. We're going to have a serious talk. You're not going to be famous overnight. They're always going to be scared going, how long is this going to take? I don't know the answer to that, but let's begin. And we're going to train. We're going to be committed, consistent, and then whatever is meant to happen will happen. But because of the social media and people, the confusion that's out there. So what acting class is good? Oh, wait, I'll go here because this person maybe can get me a job. So people are thinking where they can go that they're going to get a job instead of where can I train myself and be solid with people I respect and they have experience. They're just going to show me how to do this from ground up, not going up, down.
Absolutely. Well, there is this whole thing, you know, people have to get real years. If somebody wants to be a social media influencer, gorgeous. If somebody wants to be, I want to be a star. I want to go to Hollywood. Great. You know, people have to get clear about why they're doing what they're doing. I have friends who trained as actors are no longer actors. They were wonderful actors, but they are wonderful in their jobs and acting for them was a tool. They use their acting all the time, whether they're lawyers, judges, teachers, social workers. Like, it's fascinating. People that I'm friends with still that say, you know, I think back to this lesson I learned as an actor and it served me when I was, you know, delivering my case or when I was talking in front of a huge auditorium.
Yeah, I believe that every student that came to my studio and has to do like a presentation in front of the class, they have an ability. So I know dance and everything we do at the studio has helped them be able to communicate their feelings, communicate and, you know, like speak to the teacher and speak in front of a class and know how to stand. Another thing is knowing how to stand, you know, your shoulders, your neck, your head up high and being confident. And I think in all this is learning how to be confident and learning how to find our true essence, like our true power within, our light.
I think it's great when people have goals, you know, whatever their goal is.
Yeah.
And at the same time, if all you're doing is looking outside of you, you're not enjoying the journey and you're not like, for me, it's about, you know, who am I in this? What, again, I'll go back to what is my contribution and what is it contributing to me? When I was a young actor, I did some of those workshops that were supposed to get you jobs. And what I always find something good in whatever class I've ever taken. However, I found also a lot of frustration until I found teachers that I could really connect with,
mm-hmm.
you know, and teachers who I felt fed me. They didn't tear me down. They didn't bend me to their will.
Mm-hmm.
They were working with me to amplify the talents and the gifts that I have to share with the world.
Thank you for saying that. So I retain that because of the good mentoring and the good teaching that Felicia had, this is why her experience and her professionalism is at the level it is at right now. I always say surround yourself with greatness. And my mentors play a big role in who I am today. I never forget who taught me and brought me here.
Absolutely. And at the same time, I'm becoming more and more aware of acknowledging me. I did the work. I went through all the different things. I made the choices. Yeah. And my choices are mine, and I can always make a new choice. So if I choose to be sad or blame the business or blame COVID or blame the industry or whatever, and it's all real, man, it's true. It's happening. I feel for people who are just starting out now, not having the experience of a live audition. You know, it's staggering to me. I can't imagine that.
Right.
You know, I find it so painful for me. And at the same time, if I rest there, I'm just going to get more of that. It's the only thing that's going to get bigger. It's the only thing that's going to grow. My desire is to go, what else? What else is possible? What else?
Yes.
What is required?
I'm writing it down. I am so really writing down.
I have to practice it, Connie. It's not just like, that's why it always makes me laugh when people go, you're so positive. And I'm just like, actually, no, I was not raised that way. I was raised in a very judgmental environment.
Right.
I've had people say to me, why are you still acting? I had people say that to me in my early 30s. I had someone say to me at an event, an extended family member, you're still doing this?
Wow.
Come on. What are you doing? What are you doing with your life? You're nobody. You're nothing. You're not getting anywhere. You're not on Broadway. You're not in Hollywood. What are you doing? And that was one of those moments where it was like, what am I doing? Well, I'm doing what I love. And I think about, I'm telling you this story because it was an incepting story in my life, in my career. If I had listened to that person who had a lot of money and prestige, not in the industry, but, you know, a person mm-hmm. of esteem, I would not have had all the experiences that were amazing, that were like my dream come true as an actor.
Right.
If I had listened to that person. So I'm going to flash forward from that conversation to a few years later, not many, just a few. A few years later, I'm at the gas station. We have my mother's car. We don't have a car anymore. And there is that person in a fur coat that fabulous and that spanky new car, and they went, I saw you in this made for TV movie. It was amazing. Oh my gosh, I told everybody, I'm so proud of you. And I was just like, thank you. And I thought in that moment, if I had let all the people that told me, you're too dark, you're too ethnic, your thighs are too big,
wow,
I can't tell you the stuff that has been thrown my way.
Mm-hmm.
You will never work in film and TV.
Mm.
You have to break your face and reconstruct it. This was in my early 20s, as I have a very interesting face. Mm-hmm. It's not a common face. It's not a stereotypical face. And on film, films a certain way. All through my young career, I was given a lot of information that was very painful. I bought some of it. I was tortured. You know, I remember my agent at the time said a wonderful thing to me, my Montreal agent, because I was working in both Montreal and Toronto. I was living in Toronto at the time, but I was still working in Montreal. And my agent at the time said to me, what do you want to do? What do you think? And I just said, well, one day they're going to ask for a Felicia Shulman type.
Your voice was so loud then, though, Felicia.
Yes. Well, it was tortured. It was really a back and forth. I spent a lot of time hurting myself, judging myself, not believing in myself, not stepping into my power. Mm-hmm. I really did. It's taken me, and I'm still learning. I'm not, I will not be there until I leave this body. And then I'll be in another body and who knows what I'll be doing then.
Oh, I would be excited to know what the next version of Felicia would be. But right now at this moment, how do you feel in your heart, in your body, and in your mind after years
I feel that the more I practice what I just talked about, and I use different, like I said, yeah. I use different things. I look for courses, modalities, tools, spirituality, whatever floats people's boats, classes, things that work for them, yeah. Things that work for me. Like the more I practice living in curiosity, yeah. Living in joy, mm-hmm. Living in the question, as opposed to the conclusion. You know, I had somebody gifted me with an astrologist, and she said to me during COVID, and I loved what she said. They gave it to me as a gift that year, like, here, yeah. Have an astrology reading.
Right.
And it was really fun. And she said, take all the sides of the boxes off.
Oh.
Stop being in the box. Take all the sides off. And I loved that metaphor. Like, what else? But for me, it's what else is possible. This is the reality. It doesn't feel very good now. What else? I'm not going to live there. I'm taking, as soon as I live in a conclusion, I'm stuck.
Yeah.
If I say this is it. I have stated it. It will be. As soon as I live in a conclusion, that's it. Game over.
Right.
If I live in, what's next?
The magical world. I believe I live in the curiosity thing. So for me, if I'm not learning, I get bored. So people use the word stuck. I'm like, how can you be stuck when you're learning all the time? I have so much to learn. I know you're getting excited. If only you could see, she's jumping up and down.
I'm the same.
And this is what I tell everybody at the Academy and anybody, you know, like I'm attracting all these beautiful people to keep learning, right? So the message is huge, right? Because we're all Academy teachers, even new experts that are coming in the podcast to speak about your experience. Your questions don't all have to be answered in one day. But what you do, no, exactly. You just have to live and have fun, meet new people, new adventures, new skill sets. Just connect the dots. And then your puzzle, that's what I feel. Your puzzle just maps out slowly, and then it'll make sense. And then all this preparation, it's not going to waste. You know, when people say, well, I'm doing this for what? Oh my God, I would never speak like that. What do you mean you're doing this for what? I don't know. Just do it and have fun, because they're coming in with the mindset, I'm doing this for bang, 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 instead of I'm doing this to have fun towards what I love to do.
They're doing it with a mindset that doesn't serve them.
Exactly.
They're doing it with a mindset that is not empowering them. If that mindset empowers them, well, woohoo! Maybe for one person that will work. I know that doesn't work for me. It does not work for me.
No.
You know, so it's interesting, right? Right and wrong. I'm so aware now, Connie, of
The language, on the vocabulary we use.
Judgments. And that's what I bless this new generation about, inclusivity, being who we are. Like, that's all part of it. It's such a positive, it's a beautiful place we're going.
Yeah.
However, along with that, people are forgetting, you know, basic tenets. They're getting, like what you were saying, caught up in the destination as opposed to the journey. It sounds so like cliche, but it's really true.
It's really that. It's just that. And I'm pretty sure a lot of them are going to gain a lot of insight on everything you shared. And I have a feeling they're going to come in with a smile going, okay, after Felicia's interview on the podcast, I'm pretty sure I can take this on, Connie. I have a good feeling, and I'm going to report back with how they're going to adapt. And it's a mindset, and I'm watching them, right? I'm watching them transition because, like you said, it's practice, right? So you say it, you practice.
Practice. You know, it doesn't, it's really fun when you practice so much and then you go, wait a minute. I remember the day I thought, I no longer do that anymore. Like, I immediately go to the other thing.
Yeah. We understand it, and it's fun. You know, like, I love having these conversations because there's not many people that are at that level where we can conversate and feel happy about it, because we get excited speaking about this. And it's hard for someone else to get excited when it's like, what are you talking about? Because it's energy. We're feeding off energy. Right now I'm feeding off of Felicia's energy, and it's so fun to listen to. Even if I know it, it's so fun to listen to. And when you get excited about life, no, we get excited about things, and we get excited to meet people, and we get excited about any opportunity, right? And it's just an excitement, and then the energy blows up, and then I, you know, things happen. That's the kind of dreamland I live in, but it's not dreamland. It's
I love you. That's your universe. I'm jumping in. I'm coming to visit.
We are going to be dancing together. But Felicia, how do you stay, like, you being an actor, and if I go in the technique side, where all these next generation of actors just like you are, like, they're in Montreal and they're hungry. Okay, put yourself back when you were in your 30s, maybe 30s in today's days. I'm hungry. I want to act with people, but they're staying at home. They don't want to come and act with me. Where are the people? Like, they can't seem to find this community. I don't know if you guys had one back then. I think we did.
Yes.
We did.
Oh, my goodness, we had a community. When I was in my 30s, we were living in Vancouver and working there, and we had a group of actors that would get together. We called ourselves the Schmactors. Every week, there would be one Schmactor who was in charge of the texts, auditions, and we would work. We would film each other. We would critique each other, not in a negative way, in an empowering way, to learn. We would do this weekly. Mm-hmm. We would get together. We would have parties. And of course, that infused our auditions. I would say to people, join a community. Join your community. Yeah. It's very challenging to be in isolation and do what we do.
Exactly.
We feed off of other energies. Like, I was in studio yesterday morning, and the director said, it's so great. Do you remember over COVID how we couldn't be in the same room with people? And I'm like, I know. We did it anyway, and it was great that we did it. But there's just something to be said with get involved. Like, do things that feed you. Mm. Sitting around waiting for the phone to ring, you know, take a class.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, if it's an acting class, a dance class, a singing class, it could also be a pottery class.
Yeah.
It could be a studying the butterflies class. It's just something that, and you know, people say, I'm lacking funds. There's a lot of free stuff online.
Mm-hmm. Very
true. A lot of stuff people can do for free online. I know I've done it.
Yeah.
When I have my tighter times.
Yeah.
You know, it always makes me shocked when people say to me, I worked all the time and now I'm not working. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
But the waves are just like, the waves can either drown me or I can surf on them.
Right.
That's my choice. So the waves can either drown me or woo.
Oh, let's ask the listeners, are you going to surf or are you going to drown? What is your choice? Because it's really up to you. I mean, we're just sharing our experiences, but I really like that. Surf. I'm totally surfing. You know what? I'm flying, Felicia. I'm not even surfing. I am so flying.
I love that.
I'm
like to jump off my surfboard and join you.
Let's do it together. So join a community, get out and do it. Because I know that there are people that are working, great actors, and they really want to connect with the same actors. And some are choosing to stay home. Some of them are hungry. And it's like, we're trying to create a buzz. We're trying to create something in Montreal. What do you say when we keep saying Montreal is small, there's not enough work, there's not enough audition?
So what can we do with our smallness, our uniqueness? You know, Montreal is the one community that I know of, and I've had people in the US say this to me. I've had people in other jurisdictions like Vancouver and Toronto say this to me. We are the one place where we do it all. We're on stage, then we're doing a video game or a cartoon. Then we're going to a film set. You know, the last time I worked pre-COVID at the Seagull, I remember I was doing a video game at the same time, and these are beautiful, well-known, established theater actors, festival actors in Ontario. And they were like, wow, you do video games? How do you do that? Like, how does one do that? And I'm like, well, just put together a voice demo and tell your agent you want to. But so many of those jurisdictions part and parcel people. And to me, that's no different than someone saying, you can't do this, or it's never going to happen for me because I live in Montreal, or whatever. It's no different. It's just like, we're just so lucky. I feel this jurisdiction, or I don't know, I hate calling it that. It sounds kind of jurisdiction. This locale.
Yes.
More fun. Yeah. This locale, we are so multifaceted. We have to be, because there isn't as much work. There isn't as, so what happens? We do dubbing. We do, do you know what I mean?
I keep saying open so many doors. We are allowed. We have the opportunities to open many doors. Why are you only keeping it to one?
Yes.
And why are you, you know, facing every rejection? Like, look, open, there's another one here. There's another one there. There are so many doors. Keep opening.
I'll tell you, when I moved back from Vancouver, a lot of the work that I was doing had dried up for me in voice. There were new people. And so I suddenly wasn't getting called. And so after kind of moping for a while, oh, they're not calling me anymore, and I've lost it, I went away, and all that negativity, you know, that's really real. I mean, I remember at the time I went to Vancouver, an agent saying to me, you know, you're shooting yourself in the foot. No, it was actually one of the greatest experiences that contributed to what I'm doing today, but that's a whole other story. And it didn't go smoothly. We had really hard days there. And guess what? I look back on those days with so much gratitude for what I am and who I am and what I'm doing right now, what I'm creating right now. But getting back to that, so what did I do? I was like, you know what? I want to work in French. I've always wanted to work in French. And when I moved back here, I mean, my agent at the time, she's retired. I love that chick. When I went to her, eight people were leaving her. They told me, don't go with her. But when I met with her, I had such a good feeling about her. I met with a lot of people, and people wanted to take me on based on the work that I had already done. And I just kept interviewing and being like, who do I really? And for whatever reason, this chick just gave, just, even though, you know, people were leaving, telling me not to.
Right.
Once again, tell people, go with your feeling. People say, don't do this. It's not your career. My career took off going with that person.
Wow.
And I remember telling her I desired working in French, obviously as an Anglophone, obviously with an accent. I will never play Jeanette Tremblay, but there's many other things that I can play.
Yeah.
And I remember her saying to me, tiens pas tes souffles. You know, don't hold your breath. Here I was a series regular on a French series, and she called me into the office. She shook my hand.
Wow.
You know, and then from there, I often do some of my most interesting work in French. So, and now I'm doing voice work as well. The lull. Do you see what I mean? It was a lull, and now it but if I had
oh, nobody's calling me and everybody hates me and I fucked up because I went away and now everyone's forgotten me. No, the door is closed. The window is open.
Always.
I'm jumping through the window. And then guess what? The door opens again too. You know, like it all, it's fascinating. But when we believe
things happen, you know, I had a question for you. I was leaving it for the end.
And sorry, I'll shut up.
I love you. And I love your honesty. And I love your edginess. I just love it. You just say it as it is. And it's like, I don't care how it's going to come out, but you're going to understand what I'm saying. But I wanted to ask you, what have you learned over the years? And no, now after this interview, I feel like saying, Felicia, you're living your best life now.
I'm living my best life and I have more to live. Every year I look at my husband, who's also an actor.
Wonderful.
A photographer and videographer. And I always ask him, are we crazy? Like, we're still doing this. Is this like what we signed up for? And we always just look at each other and be like, yeah. When I ask this question, I remember moments where I felt completely fulfilled as an actor. Mm-hmm. On set, on stage, in a recording studio. I felt so alive and I felt like I'm doing exactly what I desired doing when I set out on this adventure. And it's such a great feeling. I think what kicks people in the foot is they think when they get to there, they'll feel that. Right. Guess what? Actors who get there and didn't practice enjoying along the way, they don't feel that. They feel empty. You know, a lot of people ask, why does this actor have a nervous breakdown? Why does this famous actor leave the business? Why does this actor who's constantly huge Hollywood actor, acting all the time, huge contracts. Why did they suddenly go away? They got all of the supposed, this is what I want. And actually, not so much.
Everybody wants to be seen, right? And heard. What does that word mean?
Yeah.
For somebody else, it might have a different definition. So once that person was seen and it's like, oh, wait a second. I am seen, but I'm still not feeling great. So the why, being clear on your why.
We all desire being valued. I do not act to be valued. Exactly. I love the creation. Like as soon as I start, you know, I remember one of my friends, she was so amazing. And I remember when she stopped in our early 20s, I studied with her in the States. She phoned me from LA and she said, are you sitting down? I'm leaving the business. And I was like, what? And she went, I realized that I only became an actor to meet cute guys. I had this realization. Like she was like, that's the only reason. And I can use the creativity that I have in so many other ways. And she did. She's highly successful in her business. But it's so interesting that she had this realization, this awareness. So I like to ask, like, what am I doing? Yeah. What am I doing? You know, what is the reason that I do this? When we start valuing ourselves, then the people around us value us too.
So let's recap to finish this episode. What are the questions you think we should ask ourselves? Like right now, you're a listener, you're listening. What do you think, Felicia, would be, I don't know, our top three questions we should ask ourselves?
I always ask what else is possible. It comes from something called access consciousness. It's a modality. And I love the question. What else is possible? You know, what is required? Can I change this? If so, how can I change it? I'm in this position. Okay, I'm here now. Okay, can I change this? You'll feel it right away. Okay, if so, how can I change? And we don't have to answer the question. The energy comes to us. Something comes, an email, a phone call, a text, a messenger. I love this. It comes from access as well. What if the wrongness of me was the strongness of me? I love that. Because I feel like I'm studying right now. I'm doing a course right now. And it just comes back to people of all ages. And it's a lot of judgment. And I feel a lot of that comes from social media. There's a lot of judgment. There's a lot of compare, despair. There's a lot of, it's so like illusory. It's not real. So I like to kind of get quiet with myself and ask me and my body. And also, this sounds, maybe sounds a bit too woo-woo for people, but this has to do with my movement modality. And I love checking in with my body. What does my body require? Does my body need a break? Why am I pushing through? I'm not a machine. You know, does my body require rest, water, something fun? You know, and asking my body, you know, I performed, I was concussed on a film set and I performed a bit too early.
I remember that.
As an experiment. And I used to talk every night before I went on stage, I'd ask my concussion, what contribution can I be to you? And what contribution can you be to me in this performance?
Nice.
What contribution can we gift to the audience?
Yeah.
I love the question of contribution. Can it be for me? Vice versa. And so, I ask that all the time, like when I'm in the dentist chair, when I'm getting a massage, when I'm auditioning, when I'm on set, when I'm in studio, I'm also asking to get something back.
So it's receiving, right? You want to receive in order to give. So I'm always about receiving the energy, giving the energy. So like that, I'm always fueled up. And I know a lot of you can't see us, but both of us had our two hands on our hearts. And that's what we do. And I do the same, you know, like I'm just watching you and I ask my body, you close your eyes, you ask your body. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. You're not going to hear like a voice, but you really, you're going to hear your body telling you, okay, you need rest. Okay. You need to get up and do something. You're going to actually feel it, but more you practice, more you'll hear that inner voice guiding you. And I think that's really important, but touch your heart. Cause if you're not in contact with your body, you see, coming from, we're both dancers. We know how our body feels like. We know when it's off, and that's a quality of a dancer. We know when we're off and we don't like feeling off. We always have to be aligned. Off is good because it just teaches us that we have to get back. And when we're in our body, in our center, feeling it, then we feel high, right? So touch your body, make sure that your body knows you're there, give it the love it needs.
Another great body thing is, you know, standing with your hands in a V and looking up in the air and deep breathing. When you feel low or you feel no energy, it enlivens things. And also when I feel anxious.
Yeah.
Or sad or afraid, I do heart and hara.
Yeah.
I do heart and belly. I put my hands on my heart and belly and I breathe into them. I always find that soothes me. That's from some of the movement modalities that I facilitate. Like, Connie, is the thing about making two lists, one list of all the things that make us feel great. Like I did a personal empowerment course that somebody gifted me with when I lived in Toronto in the 80s. And this is something I kept from the 80s. Like they told us to list, it was really like 100 things.
Okay.
I mean, I would say now list 50, but at the time it was 100 things. It took me a while to make that list that make you feel fabulous. And simple could be simple things, simple, right? And more extravagant things, all different things. And I go back to that list.
I'm going to use that exercise because I've never done that exercise. And I challenge all of you listening to make a list of 100 things. It's not going to be easy. Let's get to 100. I don't like going halfway. If I do something, it's full out.
I feel 100 is so much. I like start, like, I just feel like 100 is insane. It took me a long, it took me a while. I think I didn't even get to 100. I got to 85.
Okay. You got to 85. Well, it doesn't matter. You don't have to do it in 24 hours over time. Actually, I would like to know whoever gets there and just leave me messages going, I got to 50, Connie, let Felicia know I got to 50 and share with us, you know, share with us your comments. It'll be great.
I think the number one poison right now is self-judgment. I think the number one poison is judgment. It poisons. Conclusion, judgment poisons. So a really fun thing to do is write all the things you're proud of about yourself or the accomplishments. Like, let's say someone says, I had a really shitty 2022. Well, I would ask them, what's the worst thing that happened today? What's the best thing that happened today? And it's just on a bigger scale where you would write out whenever you need to. I mean, once a week, once a day, recapping the year. What are the things I'm proud of? What did I accomplish? What are the things where I'm like, good for me? Yeah. Is when we have that energy, it invites more of that energy.
And don't forget to congratulate. And that's what I wanted to end off saying. Say thank you. Look up. Look at the sun. Look at whatever. Picture of you. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, thank you. Congratulations. You did it.
Good. Yes. That part of the writing down.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's great about me? You know, like, yeah.
But even facing yourself in the mirror and looking at yourself and being so proud, you know, giving yourself a high five, like saying, hey, I did it. Like you're writing it, but you're not looking at yourself. I like staring at myself in the eyes going,
I love it. I love it, Connie.
Yeah.
I love it.
We're always in front of a mirror. So we always see what's not right, right? If our knees are bent or whatever. So the mirror
takes it to another level.
It's a reflection.
Thank you for that. Thank you. I'm going to start doing that, Connie.
I love it.
From pen to mirror.
Thank you. Because that person in the mirror is going to come back to you too. So that energy, you think you're one. Well, yeah, you are one, but it's a reflection. And it's just even like a double force, like double force, you know?
I love it. I have shivers. I love that. There's so much talent and beauty and possibility out there.
So what do you want to leave them with, Felicia?
One of my favorite all-time questions. It's posted all over my dining room, kitchen, and bedroom. What else is possible that I don't think is possible? That if I allowed the possibilities, would create a completely different reality that I could never even imagine possible. I love that. It comes from Access Consciousness, and I love it. It's a great question.
Wow. Thank you. Now go ahead and do that work, everyone. Bye, Felicia.
Bye.